Verses 8 and 9. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? This concludes Paul's discourse on justification. From now to the end of the epistle, the apostle writes mostly of Christian conduct. But before he follows up his doctrinal discourse with practical precepts, he once more reproves the Galatians. He is deeply displeased with them for relinquishing their divine doctrine. He tells them, "You have taken on teachers who intend to recommit you to the law. By my doctrine I called you out of the darkness of ignorance into the wonderful light of the knowledge of God. I led you out of bondage into the freedom of the sons of God, not by the prescription of laws, but by the gift of heavenly and eternal blessings through Christ Jesus. How could you so soon forsake the light and return to darkness? How could you so quickly stray from grace into the law, from freedom into bondage?" The example of the Galatians, of Anabaptists, and other sectarians in our day bears testimony to the ease with which faith may be lost. We take great pains in setting forth the doctrine of faith by preaching and by writing. We are careful to apply the gospel and the law in their proper turn. Yet we make little headway because the devil seduces people into misbelief by taking Christ out of their sight and focusing their eyes upon the law. But why does Paul accuse the Galatians of reverting to the weak and beggarly elements of the law when they never had the law? Why does he not say to them, "At one time you Galatians did not know God. You then served idols that were no gods. But now that you have come to know the true God, why do you go back to the worship of idols?" Paul seems to identify their defection from the gospel to the law with their former idolatry. Indeed, he does. Whoever gives up the article of justification does not know the true God. It is one and the same thing whether a person reverts to the law or to the worship of idols. When the article of justification is lost, nothing remains except error, hypocrisy, godlessness, and idolatry. God will and can be known in no other way than in and through Christ, according to the statement of John 1:18, "The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Christ is the only means whereby we can know God and his will. In Christ we perceive that God is not a cruel judge, but a most loving and merciful Father, who, to bless and to save us, spared not his own Son, but gave him up for us all. This is truly to know God. Those who do not know God in Christ arrive at this erroneous conclusion: "I will serve God in such and such a way. I will join this or that order. I will be active in this or that charitable endeavor. God will sanction my good intentions and reward me with everlasting life. For is he not a merciful and generous Father who gives good things even to the unworthy and ungrateful? How much more will he grant unto me everlasting life as a due payment in return for my many good deeds and merits?" This is the religion of reason. This is the natural religion of the world. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Romans 3:11. Hence there is really no difference between a Jew, a Mohammedan, and any other old or new heretic. There may be a difference of persons, places, rites, religions, ceremonies, but as far as their fundamental beliefs are concerned, they are all alike. Is it therefore not extreme folly for Rome and the Mohammedans to fight each other about religion? How about the monks? Why should one monk want to be accounted more holy than another monk because of some silly ceremony, when all the time their basic beliefs are as much alike as one egg is like the other? They all imagine, if we do this or that work, God will have mercy on us. If not, God will be angry. God never promised to save anybody for his religious observance of ceremonies and ordinances. Those who rely upon such things do serve a God, but it is their own invention of a God and not the true God. The true God has this to say: "No religion pleases me whereby the Father is not glorified through his Son Jesus. All who give their faith to this Son of mine, to them I am God and Father. I accept, justify, and save them. All others abide under my curse because they worship creatures instead of me. Without the doctrine of justification, there can be only ignorance of God. Those who refuse to be justified by Christ are idolaters. They remain under the law, sin, death, and the power of the devil. Everything they do is wrong. Nowadays, there are many such idolaters who want to be counted among the true confessors of the gospel. They may even teach that men are delivered from their sins by the death of Christ, but because they attach more importance to charity than to faith in Christ, they dishonor him and pervert his word. They do not serve the true God, but an idol of their own invention. The true God has never yet smiled upon a person for his charity or virtues, but only for the sake of Christ's merits. The objection is frequently raised that the Bible commands that we should love God with all our heart. True enough. But because God commands it, it does not follow that we do it. If we could love God with all our heart, we should undoubtedly be justified by our obedience, for it is written, "Which, if a man do, he shall live in them." Leviticus 18:5. But now comes the gospel and says, "Because you do not do these things, you cannot live in them." The words, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God," require perfect obedience, perfect fear, perfect trust, and perfect love. But where are the people who can render perfection? Hence, this commandment, instead of justifying men, only accuses and condemns them. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Romans 10:4. How may these two contradictory statements of the apostle, "Ye knew not God," and "Ye worshipped God," be reconciled? I answer, by nature all men know that there is a God, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Romans 1:19 and 20. Furthermore, the different religions to be found among all nations at all times bear witness to the fact that all men have a certain intuitive knowledge of God. If all men know God, how can Paul say that the Galatians did not know God prior to the hearing of the gospel? I answer, there is a twofold knowledge of God, general and particular. All men have the general and instinctive recognition that there is a God who created heaven and earth, who is just and holy, and who punishes the wicked. How God feels about us, what his intentions are, what he will do for us, or how he will save us, that men cannot know instinctively. It must be revealed to them. I may know a person by sight and still not know him, because I do not know how he feels about me. Men know instinctively that there is a God, but what his will is toward them they do not know. It is written, "There is none that understandeth God," Romans 3:11. Again, "No man hath seen God," John 1:18. Now, what good does it do you if you know that there is a God, if you do not know how he feels about you or what he wants of you? People have done a good deal of guessing. The Jew imagines he is doing the will of God if he concentrates on the law of Moses. The Mohammedan thinks his Quran is the will of God. The monk fancies he is doing the will of God if he performs his vows. But they deceive themselves and become vain in their imaginations, as Paul says, Romans 1:21. Instead of worshiping the true God, they worship the vain imaginations of their foolish hearts. What Paul means by saying to the Galatians, "When ye knew not God," is simply this: there was a time when you did not know the will of God in Christ, but you worshiped gods of your own invention, thinking that you had to perform this or that labor. Whether you understand the elements of the world to mean the law of Moses or the religions of the heathen nations, it makes no difference. Those who lapse from the gospel to the law are no better off than those who lapse from grace into idolatry. Without Christ, all religion is idolatry. Without Christ, men will entertain false ideas about God, call their ideas what you like, the laws of Moses, the ordinances of the Pope, the Quran of the Mohammedans, or what have you.